and on. We will not thrive as a church without those kind of people. And we don't thrive without people who consistently and joyfully give. Give of their time, as we're encouraging you to do this next week. Give of your money. Give of your prayers and your concern. All of these things bring encouragement to one another. And it's interesting, encouragement isn't just a suggestion. It's a command. It's in the imperative, which is a command. Encourage one another. You know, encouragement is kind of that command that meets the needs of faithful people. What do I mean by that? Well, it's kind of like, encouragement is like what maintenance is to a vehicle. If you don't maintain your vehicle, what happens? If you don't change the oil, what happens? It doesn't function the way it does, and sometimes eventually it could even quit. And so it is, I think, with people in the church, that we need encouragement. That's kind of the oil change. That's the encouragement. That's the filter that, you know what? I can be at my optimum. I can be at the greatest efficiency when I'm encouraged, because I don't know about you, but when I'm encouraged by others, I want to do even better. It's like, yeah, I like doing that, but man, it sure is good to be encouraged. But when we don't function that way, then we can kind of not do as well as we should or as we can. Think about how you've been affirmed and how that's encouraged you. Maybe it was in a sport. Maybe your coach was an encourager versus the opposite. Maybe they're always just saying, you got to do better. Which one helped you better? Maybe it's at work. Do you have a boss that's always just, you know, get the job done. Come on, this is all about productivity. Versus someone who encourages you and thanks you for what you're doing. Which one are you going to work harder for? You know the answer. You've probably been in that situation. Think about at church, right? How about those who try to seek to live and live their life for Christ and use their gifts? Whether it's at church or at home in your neighborhood, when someone encourages you, you're doing a good job, you want to do that even more. Matter of fact, that's something we try to do. A part of who we've been over the years is try to encourage different ministries, and we do that throughout the year. You know, a few weeks ago, we encouraged and thanked our intercessors, people who pray for us. We honor teachers, we honor setup team, and so on. But you know what? It's got to go way beyond that. It can't be just something kind of formal that we do once a year. It's something that each of us are to be a part of. We're to encourage one another. What does the author say here? To love and to good deeds. We're to encourage each other to do those good things. But it's interesting, the author of Hebrews also understands that to be the church, you have to come to church. Did you notice that in verse 25? He says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another. Hebrews 10, it shows us that we're responsible for one another. Now, you may have never thought of that. Maybe you're new to church and you didn't really think that you're, you know, you coming here is something that is a command. But it actually is. It's something that we're called to do. Because the truth is, if we're not together, we can't encourage each other, can you? It's kind of hard to encourage one another if you don't actually interact with someone. And when we neglect this idea of coming together, we begin ultimately to have a mindset which, unfortunately, I think pervades a lot of American church, and that is that church is simply for me. They've done surveys about people. Well, why do you come to church? And the majority of things is it's for me, for me, for me. But the Bible says it's not just for you. Yes, it's for you, but it's for us. And part of you coming here is also to encourage and to serve others. Many people have the idea, well, I come to church when it's convenient. When it's convenient for me or when it's good for me, then I come to church. But if not, you know, then I don't. But we forget that we are an encouragement. Every time that you show up, do you know that you're an encouragement to each other? Just look around. You know, if it was just me and Jeff and Scott and Mel and Mark and the worship team that was here, we'd be discouraged. I mean, whether we should be or not, we would kind of go, okay, where's everybody else? I thought we were a family. I thought, you know. And so just you, in some ways, just your presence here is an encouragement. And you know that. The person that you're sitting next to, if your section is kind of, you know, small or whatever, you go, oh, man, where's our buddy? You know, but the truth is, with so many things going on in our lives and our culture, whether it be, you know, youth sports or job demands or weekends away, family gatherings and so on, there's kind of a growing acceptance among the American church for some that, you know, well, I just go to church when I feel like it. Or when everything else, there's nothing else to do, then I'll go to church. And that's for church people. There's a lot of church people. But that's not for God's family. That's not, God says we're a family. Now, none of those things that I mentioned are bad or wrong, okay? We all do those things, but here's the problem, here's the key, is when those things are all priority over our relationship with God and our love for Him and His church, that's where the problem comes in. When those things always trump coming to church or having a relationship with God, we get in trouble, don't we? And it's easy to do, especially in our culture, because that's kind of become part of our church culture, unfortunately. So something that you need to know is that every time that you are here, you are an encouragement to somebody. There's people in the nursery right now watching your little kids. We have people out there, Rick Smith and Carrie McLaren, teaching our kids. Those should be an encouragement to you. Our worship team who shows up on Thursday night and practices and comes here early and practices should be an encouragement to you to help you to worship and draw closer to God. So coming to church, we've talked about it, you know, it's an important thing. And it's something that should be a priority that we encourage one another to be a part of. But there's so much more to encouragement. That's just one little thing. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians, okay? We're going to be there the rest of the morning. Turn actually back a couple pages, not too far, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, okay? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, you might want to, something I'd encourage you to do in your Bibles maybe during the summer, if you have them, is go and circle all those one another's that we're going through. Circle, you know, encourage one another, whatever the other ones are, serve one another. Then when you go back and read, you can kind of remember, be encouraged by that. But let's look at verse 13, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. Paul writes this, he says, brothers, sisters, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep. In other words, those who have died. Or to grieve for the rest of men who have no hope, or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You see, we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so we believe that God will bring faith. We'll bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep, who've died. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will all be with the Lord forever. Therefore, here it is, encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another with these words. I wanted to read that whole passage because we need to understand the context of this particular encourage one another. And the context is here that we need to encourage one another as we consider our future, our eternal future. First of all, the context here is about Jesus coming again. If you're brand new to church, something that the Bible clearly states is that Jesus is coming again. He's coming back. And we're to encourage one another about our future because the truth is, as we look at this life, we can become pretty discouraged, can't we? All the stuff that's going on in this world, as we look at our own lives and maybe the heartache, the pain, the tough situations that we deal with, and certainly even ultimately facing death. All of us at some point, unless Christ comes back, will face our own mortality. And it's during all those different times and so many more that we can easily get discouraged and wonder, where's the Lord? Is God really in control? Is Jesus really coming back? And we're called to encourage one another. Think about friends and family that you have, and even your own life. And as you think about some of the hardships that people go through, as some of us who are getting older, our parents are getting older, and we're having to deal with our parents and their health issues. Some of us are dealing with their own health issues, or we have children who have difficulties emotionally or spiritually or maybe even physically. And so we're called to encourage one another in those difficult times. We have one of our own, Charlene, who, you know, many of you know, a couple weeks ago, a week and a half ago, fell and broke two of her ribs. Pretty serious situation, and you know, that's why she's not here. But so many of you have already encouraged her by taking meals, which, by the way, if I think we're supposed to announce. If you want to take some more meals, let me know or let my wife know. I'd love to encourage them that way. But you know, there's so many things that can bring us down in this life. And as a church, as God's people, we are to encourage one another in those difficult, difficult times. It's as simple as a card, a call, spending time with them, a word of prayer and encouragement when people are dealing with tough times in life. And here's the question, is that part of who you are? Is that even on your radar? It needs to be. And we need to encourage people as part of that whole encouragement is to help them and when they're going through a difficult time, know that God is still in control. That God is still there. The world and the effects of this fallen world are not the end. Right? This world is not all there is. Jesus is coming back. And that leads us kind of to the next part of this passage, and that is that Paul was wanting to encourage people about eternity. About eternity, about eternal relationships. We need to remember our future. For those who truly put their faith in Christ, who've received Him, like we celebrate in the communion, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of eternity. And we're called to encourage one another in that truth. When people are going through a tough time, when people lose a loved one, we are called to encourage one another. And sometimes when we do that, it's easier said than done. Sometimes it's difficult. There was actually two men who kind of knew each other, weren't really good friends, but knew each other, saw each other occasionally, Randy and Dan. And they saw each other after about a year. They hadn't seen each other. They bumped each other at a football game. And Randy said, "Well, how's your wife, Dan?" And Dan replied, "Well, my wife died. She's gone to heaven." "Oh, I'm so sorry," he said. Then he realized what he said. He wasn't really sorry that she was in heaven. He said, "Well, I'm sorry that that she died. I'm sorry that she went to heaven. I mean, I'm just sorry." He didn't quite have the words to say, but he knew that he wanted to encourage her. You know, sometimes we don't know what to say, do we? We don't. But you know what? We can bring encouragement. And whatever you say, it's usually, I know in my own life, when someone brings that word of comfort and encouragement, it encourages me whether they say it the right way or not. You know, a few years ago, I dealt with the death of my father. And then, obviously, with the on dealing of my mom with Alzheimer's, ultimately, her passing away here a couple of years ago. And throughout that time, it was kind of like a three or four year period, so many of you and other people, but especially my church, we're there for encouraging words and cards and prayers. And it's not just kind of a token thing. You know, sometimes they think, well, it doesn't really matter what I say or what I do. It does. Some of you experienced that. It really made a difference. It's one of the great blessings of being a part of God's church that many people miss out on. But the Apostle Paul, he wants to encourage us about our eternal future, to remember, as so many reminded me, that God's in control. And especially for those who have loved ones that love Jesus, that, you know, we have an eternity to enjoy with one another. But the Apostle Paul isn't done there with his challenge of encouraging one another. Look at chapter 5. Skip down a few verses. Chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. He says this, "But since we belong to the day, let us be," okay, let me get it right. "But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, put on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with Him. Therefore, encourage one another." There it is again. "Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." We see here in this passage a challenge from Paul to the church to encourage, to build one another up, to fight this spiritual battle that we're all in. Because the truth is, the Bible talks a lot about this idea of a spiritual battle. Encouragement, this word encouragement is often combined with the word build up. We see throughout the New Testament, Paul loves saying, encourage and build one another up. They're like back to back. We see it in Acts 14:22, Acts 15:32, 1 Thessalonians 3:2, 2 Thessalonians 2:17, and there's a bunch more. Encourage and build up. Think about it. I mean, usually encouragement does build you up, right? In this passage, we see that Paul describes a picture of the spiritual battle. He describes different kind of armors. If you look in Ephesians, he talks about the armor of God, and here he kind of refers to that as well. And these different pieces of armor are there to encourage us, to help us in our spiritual maturity, to help us dealing with the crises of this life. The truth is, most of us here are going to go through a spiritual midlife crisis. Now, it doesn't mean that it's going to be necessarily in the middle of your life. It could be right now when you're young, or it could be when you're older. But we're all going to have kind of a spiritual crisis at different times in our lives. What does that mean? Well, where some of us are going to get stuck in a rut. We're going to get stuck in a spiritual rut. Where we face this time in our life where we stop growing. We stop learning. We stop maturing in our faith. We pull away. And this happens probably for too many of us at times. And that's the time where we especially need encouragement from one another. And Paul says here, there's three things that will help us fight that battle. Three things that we need to know for ourselves, but also that we need to know as we encourage others. And what are those three things that are part of the battle plan? Faith, love, and hope. Sound familiar? We'll talk about it a little more. You know, we've all heard that. Faith, hope, and love, right? First one we look at is faith. Truth is, without the armor of faith, we will definitely be discouraged. And there's so many things that can deceive us, that can take us away from our faith, that can weaken our faith, the deceitfulness of sin. For some of us, maybe it's the lure of money and the things that money can buy. Oh, if you just have this, if you just had more of this kind of thing that money could buy, then you'll be happy. And those things can pull us away from our relationship with God, and our faith is weakened. For others, that's not an issue. For others, maybe it's a relationship. I've seen this too often, many times, especially if somebody's single, a relationship all of a sudden takes priority over their relationship with God. And all of a sudden, their faith is weakened because they put more emphasis on that relationship than on their relationship with God. For others of us, maybe it's looking at the temporary happiness from all these things that we think can bring us happiness, such as vacations or that favorite hobby or that favorite sport or whatever it is that ultimately, if we put that above God, our faith is weakened. Paul says, you know what? You need faith like a breastplate. Okay, now, we don't have, you know, breastplates anymore, but in police, in military, they have armor, right? Underneath their uniforms, they have this protection. It's a breastplate. Protects their vital organs, their heart, their lungs, all those things that we need to live. And he says, we need faith to be that protection of our heart, our spiritual heart. You know, as we think about that, part of being in the church is to encourage one another in our faith, to help them put on that spiritual armor. One author defined faith as this, as a certain knowledge and trust of God and of his promises in Christ. Faith is a certain knowledge and trust in God and his promises in Christ. And we are to help one another to remember those promises of Christ, to have that encouragement in our faith. That's part of being the family of God, where we encourage one another to grow. How do we grow? Well, there's lots of ways, but the three big basics of how we grow in our faith. One is knowing God's word better, being in his word, praying, talking to God, and then serving God, serving others, as well as maturing our character, learning what it means to follow God. And how can you do that? Well, how can you build somebody's faith that way? Well, how about inviting them to your home group? Or to maybe you're involved in a women's group or a men's group, and maybe there's somebody you know is struggling, you encourage them to come with you. Or maybe you just decide to meet with them one-on-one or two-on-one or whatever it is. Is that something that's even on your radar of who you are, of looking at others? It's not only encouraging one another, ultimately it's protecting them, right? It's allowing them to have the armor to protect them, protect their heart. You know, I've been blessed over the years to be encouraged by so many people. Matter of fact, over the last literally 30 years, I don't know when I started this. I was looking at some of them. It was literally 30 years ago when I was in youth ministry in college. Different people would send me an encouragement card. And I actually have two files like this. And I just, as I was doing this message, I was reminded of that file I have. And oftentimes when I get an encouragement card or a letter or something, I put it in there. Every once in a while, I'll go back and read one, you know, read a few of them and just go, you know, especially when I'm down. It's like, is this really worth it? And it's a great encouragement. Some of your cards are in there. This last year when I was on sabbatical, there was someone or some ones that would send me these handmade cards. They'd cut out little things and write out these little notes for me throughout my sabbatical. It was a great encouragement. You know, some people think, well, pastors, leaders, they don't need encouragement. I mean, they got it all together, right? I mean, you know, they went to seminary, so they're perfect. Well, if you've been here very long, you know that's not true. Pastors, worship pastors, youth pastors need your encouragement as much as you need it, and so on. We are to encourage one another, especially in our faith, to help each other to grow in our faith. Paul also says, though, he doesn't stop there, he says, another way we are to build one another up, to encourage one another, is through love. Helping each other, love. And he says, faith and love are like two parts of this breastplate. Both of them are important. One author's definition of love is this: the yielding of self to God, who's the object of our delight. I love that. The object of our delight. I mean, that's, you know, our motto, delighting in God. Loving people. If we love God, if we delight in Him, it's a lot easier to love others as well, isn't it? And we need to encourage one another to be people who love. It's too easy to be critical, to be negative, right? To be unforgiving, to be bitter, whatever area that is. We need to encourage one another to love. A true story, a man and his wife, Penny, we're walking in the park, and he shares this in his own story. He shared about how a 10-year-old boy, he said, came racing around a tree. As he came around the tree, he almost ran into us, says, "Dad, where's Penny?" Or not Penny, "Where's Amy?" And all of a sudden, he looked up and realized that wasn't his dad. He said, oh, sir, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I thought you were my dad." To which he replied, "That's okay. Everyone makes mistakes. It's okay." The little boy began to walk away, and he noticed he had a limp, and he realized, as he remembered seeing him there briefly, that he also had this the face of a boy with Down syndrome. And the boy started walking away, but then all of a sudden, about 10 yards, he turned around and came back. Started walking back toward this couple. And he came to him, and he looked him right in the eye. He says, "My name's Billy. What's yours?" And he said, "You guys were so nice to me. Can I give you a hug?" And he gave us a hug. After giving each of us a tight hug, he said, "I just wanted you to know, you're my friends now. And I'm going to be praying for you. I have to go find my sister Amy now. But I'll see you later. God bless." And he walked back. Penny and I had tears in our eyes as we watched Billy limp back to the playground to play with his sister. After Billy went down the slide, his mother came over to him and gave him a big hug. It was obvious that he was loved by her. Think about Billy. You know, this is a random story here, a random incident of this little boy. Billy showed love and encouragement to someone he barely knew. He'd received that love, obviously, from his parents, maybe from others, obviously from God. And he turned around and gave it to somebody he barely even knew. What about us? What about those that we do know, that we see regularly, that are a part of our lives? Do we encourage? How much should we encourage others in showing love? You know, one of the greatest ways to encourage others to love is to set the example by loving, right? If you want your kids to know how to love, what should you do? Love them. We see a great example here in this little boy. It seems that Billy was simply passing on the love he had already received from his parents and from God. And we need to be those kind of people as well. You know, I remember times when our kids were growing up from little to older, and as we were raising our kids, when we had really good friends, Jim and Debbie Lincoln. I was on staff with him, and his kids were quite a bit older than ours. And as we were raising them, we'd see them often, and he would always just encourage us. He would encourage us of how we were raising our kids and how well we were doing at loving our kids, and we didn't always feel like we were doing a great job. But it was so encouraging as he said, you know what, you're doing a good job. You're loving your kids. You know, when someone encourages you, it makes you want to do something even better, doesn't it? It did for us. The last thing Paul talks about encouraging one another, he says, is in our hope. In our hope. This, he says, hope, however, is like the helmet of salvation. He's like, it's like the helmet. It protects our mind, our head. And really, that's kind of what 1 Thessalonians 4 and 5 is talking about. It's talking about our hope of salvation, our eternal future. As we talked about earlier, that Jesus is coming back, and that is the hope that we have. And we need to encourage one another to that hope when things are tough. Paul often put those three together, faith, hope, and love, right? 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. He mentions it throughout the New Testament. It's the essence of Christianity. If you want to kind of know the essence of Christianity, it's the ideas of faith, hope, and love. And that's what we're to encourage one another toward. Can you encourage others in their faith? In their love for each other? In hope when things are down? So here's a challenge for us as a church. As Paul said, that we are to, what, live together for him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. As I look around, there are many of you, maybe even most of you, maybe all of us, that are doing this. But you know what? We can do even better. We're called to do even more. We are called to encourage each other even more. As you look ahead to this week, this month, this year, can you challenge yourself? Can you think about how you can encourage someone? Can you make that a part of your personality, a part of, not personality, but a part of who you are as a follower of Christ? Maybe it's sending a note. Maybe it's sending a text or calling somebody. Those are kind of simple. Maybe it's inviting someone over to your house. Maybe it's praying for someone and just letting them know that you're praying for them. Maybe you've noticed that someone hasn't been to church for a while, and so you let them know that they're missed, and you invite them, say, hey, why don't you, we'd love to have you come back. And you can sit with us, as a matter of fact. We'd love to have you sit with us. Maybe it's something as simple as giving a hug to somebody who's down, like Billy did. There are literally thousands of ways that we can encourage one another. And as we look at this series of living for one another, this is one of the most important ones, to encourage one another. May we be a church that has a mindset and that has an atmosphere where we are encouraging one another. Let's pray.